Welcome back to another hour of the best of Cairo Nights. This is Sugar Shane Peterson, your producer. And guys, we've got one where it looks like Stacy, Joe, and Jack sit down and talk about loud mufflers and how people who just don't get sarcasm are the worst.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now, Stacy Jo Ross making her triumphant return to Cairo Nights. Stacy Jo Ross, a.k.a. 92 degrees in my car. Stacy Jo Ross, I got a bone to pick with the universe right now. I got a serious phone. Well, okay. So I have been complaining on the radio for many a year. And a topic that I used to complain about regularly was loud mufflers, not only on cars, but also on motorcycles. The whole like, that whole thing.
Okay. Yes. I was thinking of the ones that are like,
yeah, those two. Okay, excellent. So, and everyone has been saying now it's those two things, but also leaf blowers I find to be exceedingly obnoxious and intolerable.
Yes.
Leaf blowers are just the bane of my existence. So all of these things in combination I've been trying to get rid of. But finally, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has answered my prayers because Bellevue Police, according to Cairo 7, are cracking down on loud mufflers. That is right. They announced plans on Monday to emphasize patrols to crack down on loud mufflers this summer. Finally, Stacy Jo Ross, we can live in an America where people can enjoy living in a quiet neighborhood, a quiet, peaceful, enjoyable neighborhood where our children can run around and play without having to cover their ears up, without dogs barking at windows, without cats scurrying away under the couch. We can finally be rid of the loud muffler menace, Stacy Jo Ross, and I could not be prouder. As a matter of fact, I would like to say that we're living in Joe Biden's America, and in Joe Biden's America, we don't allow people to have loud mufflers.
Look how excited people are.
So excited. The live studio audience.
I have a real question.
Yeah.
Now, I have a real question. Mm-hmm. As someone dealing... This is going to be dumb for anyone that understands anything about cars, so know that I don't. As someone currently dealing with a car issue that is slightly out of my fiscal responsibility to address right now in this very moment... is this something where some people might just have really loud mufflers with their cars and now they're all of a sudden going to have to fix it? Or do people purposely make their cars that loud and obnoxious?
They purposefully make them that loud and obnoxious.
Why?
They do it on purpose.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's kind of like people who do styles that you just don't understand, like socks with sandals or things where you're like, you chose that. That was a choice. You did this on purpose. So you made your muffler loud on purpose.
So I am as libertarian as libertarian gets on I don't know how many issues, Stacy Jo Ross. The few things that I am 100% iron-fisted, totalitarian dictator, I will literally throw people in the gulag for this. Loud mufflers, you take the bafflers off your Harley so it's as loud as it can possibly be, or you leaf blow in front of my home, I will straight drag you into prison, Stacy Jo Ross, to not give a second thought about it. I will lock that human being in prison, throw away the key. I will do it gladly. I will do it with a smile on my face. Stacy, don't even get me started. Leaf blowers, okay, here's the problem with leaf blowers, Stacy Jo Ross. I want you to think about this for a second. You are telling me that everybody is deeply concerned about COVID-19 and particulates flying into your eyes, flying into your mouth, so on and so forth. So we all have to wear masks, right? However, comma, every Saturday, every Sunday, just an army of groundskeepers descend on every neighborhood across America, regardless of what time of the year it is, and they just leaf blow right into your face. Pieces of leaves, detritus, dead cockroaches, dead bugs.
Right
into your face, right into your eyeballs, Stacy Jo Ross. There is nothing more obnoxious on God's green earth than an individual leaf blowing in my neighborhood. When I run past them, only twice in my life, not once, twice in my life, has somebody actually taken the common decency to turn off the leaf blower. You know what they do most of the time, Stacey Jo Ross?
They blow it away from you and, like,
they
motion for you to pass.
Blow it away from me and motion for me to pass. That's like, can you believe... Can you believe how rude people are, Stacey? Is there something that gets under your skin as much as that gets under my skin, Stacey?
I feel like we're in a therapy session. It's just, you know, gosh, let me really think about it. So I do have some driving pet peeves. There are certain voices I find annoying, which is ironic because people probably say that about me.
No, Stacey, you have the voice of an angel.
Now, it doesn't make me livid. It doesn't make me livid the way that leaf blowers are kind of the bane of your existence. But driving etiquette really gets under my skin. Where, like, I'll be thinking about it later. You know when you're like, this person isn't thinking about me, but here I am at the parking lot of the grocery store I was driving to, walking in, thinking, like, I can't believe they didn't thank me when I let them pass in front of me or whatever.
Yes.
And I live in an area, we were just talking about this, in Seattle, where there are, it's very residential. And in Seattle, in residential areas, a lot of places are essentially, because of the way parking works out, one-way streets. So you need to, like, pull to the side to let people pass. There's just a little, like, game you play with people. And I hate it when you go out of your way. Like yesterday, I reversed into an intersection so that someone could continue to drive because he clearly wasn't going to turn around.
Mm.
And he didn't even thank me. And I was like, I went out of my way to do this for you. And yeah, that really grinds my gears.
Stacey, I need you to get it out though. I want to hear some catharsis as to something that really irritates you to no end, like how leaf blowers destroy my day. It could be off in the distance. It could be miles away. And if I hear that off in the distance, my teeth will start to grind, a vein will pop out of my forehead, sweat will begin to bead around my brow. Sarah asks me what's wrong, and I pound my desk and I say, get out of here, I can't take this anymore. There has to be something out there, Stacey, that you
I
find.
Don't know. I mean,
I'm trying to break the mold, Stacey.
Nothing that gets me that mad. I guess the most recent thing I got angry about was I was talking. So obviously this is going to be sports related because obviously I do a sports talk show. And mm-hmm. so we were talking about sports. We were mm-hmm. talking about the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mariners have not been to the postseason since 2001. But there was a series in 1995. It's a very famous postseason series because it was against the Yankees. And so the Mariners in 2021 had just dropped a series to the Yankees. And I said, of a team that hasn't been to the postseason in 20 years, I said, gosh, I want to get to a point where we see the Mariners demolish the Yankees in a series. Like, I want, as a Seattleite, as someone who has watched this team,
mm-hmm.
I want to see them demolish the Yankees. And someone texts in chastising me. And he was like, Stacey, it's called 1995. Look it up. And I was like, this is the problem! And then that's when I went off. And I stood up and I grabbed my mic and I was like, you want to know why you haven't made the playoffs in 20 years? Because you keep pointing to 1995 and saying, what about this? What about when we did this? You know how old I was in 1995?
Two.
Five. I don't remember this. I barely care about it because the only way I know about it is watching videos on YouTube. So don't point to 1995 and say that was good enough.
Yes.
Be more than 1995. Be more than Frosted Tips and the Spice Girls' first album, even though their music without Jerry was just as good and no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
Be more than 1995. There it is.
There it is, Stacey Jo Ross.
Thank you so much.
That's a really good one. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
I got another one.
I couldn't get over someone saying, well, 20 years ago, any kind of, like, passiveness just irks me.
So, okay, I got another one for you. This is another one that really got under my skin yesterday. Now, if you were listening to the show yesterday at, let us say, 8:06, you'll know exactly what happened. So, I had a telehealth appointment with Dr. Z. I don't have a regular doctor. I have Dr. Z. So when I have a weird rash or a weird bump, I call Dr. Z and I say, what's this thing? So it's kind of like having a doctor, but it's also just kind of like having a friend who's your doctor, if that makes sense. So Dr. Z and I are Zooming, and he said, what are you going to talk about tonight on the show? And I said, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about this happening in this county, this happening in that county. And then I said, and then Snohomish County, right? I say Snohomish County. And then he says Snohomish County. He's trying to correct me. And I said, no, Snohomish County, right?
I said what I said. don't know about you.
So,
but...
so we had a good laugh at that about all the kooky, crazy names. And then the following, I said, you want to come on the show tonight? He said, yeah, I'll come on the show. He comes on the show. And then to make fun of him, I said, did you know that there's a county up here called Snohomish County? And he pretended like he didn't know what I was talking about, even though I was making fun of him. And the bit felt totally flat. It just landed flat right on its face. And then the text line blows up. And everybody thinks that I'm a total moron because I don't know how to pronounce the county. I hate that. I hate that. I was like, dude, I was doing a callback to a thing that you and I did earlier today. It's funny. You're supposed to laugh. And then
people treat you like an idiot.
I know.
When you've made something that is either clearly a joke or something where you're like, I want you to have faith that a human doesn't actually think this. And they get really, really, like, I made a joke
that
a player who is 6'3" might be too petite to tackle a player who's 6'6".
Yes.
It was so clearly a joke. And we were talking about bulletin board material. So I was like, I don't know. I mean, that guy might be a little too small to take that guy down. Like, in the idea that I'm creating bulletin board material, but it's bad bulletin board material.
Yes.
That's the joke, right? Like, and so many people, I saw someone complaining about me on a Reddit thread after this.
Wow.
A lot. And they were like, she actually thought that this player was, quote, too small to tackle him. And once she said that, I couldn't take her seriously. And I was like, you clearly don't understand clear sarcasm. Like, I even had a sarcastic tone. Jake, my co-host, was laughing and kind of rolling his eyes. And like, we were giving clues, context clues, that it was a joke. And oh god, I hate that, Jack, especially when you're like, this is funny, this
right.
is objectively
right.
funny, and you guys are just calling me an idiot and you don't get it.
So last Friday, additionally, just to jump off of your story, last Friday I was doing radio with Sherry Elliker, and Hannah Scott comes on talking about the homeless encampment that was outside of the City Hall building, right, City Hall Park. And she's outlining, Hannah Scott as a professional is outlining all of the things that have happened in the park over the last couple of months. And me being funny and talented and witty and sharp, I go, as she's listing these things off, I go, what? No, that didn't happen. Hannah Scott, do you have your sources right on that? And the juxtaposition is Hannah Scott being an absolute professional at her job, and then me being sarcastic about being
very clearly so.
Text line blows up. Why don't you go down there and see for yourself, Jack Stein? I don't understand what's wrong with people. I really do. Like, if Stacey, if you are ever sarcastic with me, I get it. I get the tone of your voice. I get the timbre of your voice. I understand the emotional inflection that you are trying to make. And we both grab our tummies and we laugh. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And now I live in a world with just humorless, awful people. Just
vacuous. Well, I think it's two things. It's yes, there's humorless, awful people. There's people that are totally fine, good people that don't get certain types of humor. Like, sarcasm is, I think, something that some people just truly don't get. Like, it's just not for them.
Right.
And then there's people where, like, it's a type of thing that I think has become worse with social media. And I've taken a part in it too, without meaning to. But it's this kind of like, well, how about this? And you want to like do a gotcha moment to people. So your first reaction is actually to explain how you're better than someone rather than try to see from their point of view. And that translates to sarcasm too.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Stacey, I feel like maybe the gist of this conversation is that you and I are better people than other people. I feel like maybe that's
kind of
whole...
what I'm... Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm taking away. So it's... I can sleep at night knowing that.
Stacey, by the way, how's your, you know, you and I haven't spoken in a while because you've been, you know, like busy doing other things.
Right.
Not coming to the, not coming to dial in at 9 o'clock at night on the IPDTL line, like how you're supposed to, like how we plan all the time. And how, you know, it's like part of your job to do this. And it's not like I'm upset or anything like that. Not like I'm mad or anything.
You don't
like
seem
that.
Like it. No. Yeah.
But, you know, you've been absent now for like what day is it today? It's like two whole days. You missed two whole, like, that's like two whole days of work. And I understand that you were at the training camp and you were doing all this other stuff. But I have to ask, Stacey Jo Rost, how's the search for a man's going, if you don't mind me asking, put you on blast?
Oh, it's so uneventful. It's so uneventful. We, let's see, we went out... We went out to a bar last weekend, and I can only assume. So I was hanging out with my friend, who is 6 foot five. Mm-hmm. I'm 5 foot two, mm-hmm. and he is blonde, mm-hmm. and I am a brunette. Mm-hmm. And we were with other friends, but it was him and then my three roommates. We're all hanging out. We're all friends. And my two roommates at one point were kind of talking to each other. So these guys approach them. And I, at this point, am one-on-one, like, just hanging out, talking with our friend. And so I think that maybe they thought, oh, we don't want to go up to this girl. I can only assume because I look great. But then this one guy comes up and starts talking to us, and he's trying to gauge, like, so are you guys dating? Or he goes, I didn't know whether you guys were dating or, like, brother and sister, which is a weird
super
segue.
Weird.
And for some reason, my friend, just because he feels like it, he goes, oh, we're brother and sister. So the guy goes, oh, twins? And I just go, yeah. And the guy goes, are you identical? But he meant it. But he meant it. And I just stared.
Wow, what a heartbreaker. Wow.
Oh, bummer.
Just a huge disappointment. People should take dating advice from me, because I'm the best at breaking the ice with other people. You have to be a little confrontational with somebody. You have to be, like, a little bit, not off-putting, but you have to be a little bit like, what's your deal? What do you do?
Yeah, how do you feel about going up and right away, almost right away, being like, are you single? Is that weird?
That's weird.
Because that's an approach that my friend was taking. He felt like it saves him time, because that way he doesn't talk to a girl for an hour and she's like, well, I've got to go see my boyfriend. Bye.
That is straight. If someone did that to me and I was a lady, I would think that that guy was a straight psychopath. I would think that that guy is insane. But to reframe that for the guy, if he said, what's your deal? Why are you here? You know, like that kind of...
What's
that,
your deal? Yeah. Why are you here?
What's your deal? Why are you here? What are you doing here?
Are you alone?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Because, like, then you will know instantly if that person is, like, into it or not into it. Because if they're not into it, they're going to be like, ew, go away. And then they're gonna leave. But if they're into it, they're gonna buck up to it. And they're going to say, yeah, I'm here with my friends. And that's how you know. You're like, okay, this person's cool now. And you go, okay, respect.
It sounds like your advice is to genuinely see how far you can push social norms.
100%.
To see if this person still is talking to you. Because if they're still talking to you when you're being really weird, then they're into you.
Yeah, 100%.
Nice.
100%.
Nice, I like it.
You got to be a
I
little weird, a little confrontational. Stacey Jo Rost, thanks for coming back and doing your job tonight. I appreciate it.
I missed you, Jack.
Oh, I missed you too. I missed you too, Stacey Jo Rost. Well, we only have one more day together, because after tomorrow, I got to go do Tom and Curly. So
I know.
Promises. We have to take a really quick break in the next segment. You can ask us any question your heart desires. 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Once again, that's 98973. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this.
More of the best of Cairo Nights coming right up. Hello, welcome back to another little segment here on the best of Cairo Nights. This is coming from May 20th, and this is when I tried to see if Jack knew the difference between some Washington State senators and some Washington State serial killers.
Shane, you're always picking stoner music for Shane's World segment.
What is the talking heads? They're not that big of stoners.
We're doing right now is we're doing a segment called Shane's World, where we go deep inside of Shane Peterson's mind and we figure out what's going on with Shane. Because all day long, Shane sits behind the microphone, or not behind the, you sit behind the board and you basically make the show run. So at 9:30, we're trying out this new thing where we go inside Shane's mind. So what do you got for us, Shane, inside of Shane's world?
Well, I was working today and I kept thinking to myself, what am I going to talk about today? I need to figure out something to talk about. And then I came to a big realization. So are you familiar with the show Billy on the Streets with Billy Eichner?
I am not, no.
You are not, okay. It is a game show. and why are you laughing?
No reason. Okay, continue.
No reason, continue. All right. Well, Billy Eichner is this guy. He has his own TV show on True TV, and basically it's he's a man on the streets, basically. So he goes up and he asks people random questions, and he does it kind of in like a game show style format. So, Jack... I was sitting there thinking, well, I wonder if I could do something like that with Jack. And then it hit me. So you're new to the state of Washington, you know, correct?
Yeah,
you've only been here for a couple months.
Only a couple months.
So the thing that you need to know is that you need to kind of brush up on your Washington politics, your Washington history politics. And
yes,
you also need to brush up on the fact that there have been a lot of serial killers in this state. A lot of people be murdering out in these streets. So I have put together a list of 15 different names, and I'm going to read off each name to you, Jack. And
okay,
I'm telling you, you better not have Google open. Do not have Google open.
I don't.
Okay.
I promise.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to test you to see what you know in the game that I like to call Washington State Serial Killers or Former Washington State Senators. That is the name of the game.
Okay. All right.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
All right. Number one, Kenneth Bainchi.
That's got to be a serial killer. 100%. That is a 100%. That is a serial killer.
That is true. I hope I'm getting the last name right. I can never read names correctly, but yes, you are right. He was a murderer. He was also known as the Hillside Strangler, and he has had 12 victims. He's committed 12 murders. So, next one, Jack. Number two, Joseph Edward Duncan III.
Okay, this is an easy one because three named people, John Wayne Gacy, this is a serial killer 100%.
Ah, you're good. Yeah, you got number two right, correct. It has murder, 5 to 7 victims.
This is such a good game. This is such a good game. Okay.
All right, number three, John Wilson.
Senator. This has got to be a senator. John Wilson, or he's got to be a member of government in some way, probably like a mayor or something like that.
Yes, he is a senator. He was a Republican senator that held the reins from February 19th, 1895 to March 3rd, 1899.
This is so good. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Okay, give me another one.
All right. Number four, Billy Goal.
Oh, wow. This is a tough one. My inclination is to say serial killer.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yep, you are correct. You are so far 4 for 4. I'm telling you, Jack, you better not have Google up. I hate this working, you not working here, because I feel like you're a big
Google
cheater. You're the one coming up with the rule book for all the robots, and now you're stealing the show.
There's no way. There's no way that I could type the names in that fast, and also, Shane, you would hear it. Like, let me type something right now. Hold on. Let me type something you could clearly hear. Like, can you hear this?
No, I can't hear
it. That's me
of that
typing.
I can't hear.
Okay,
anything.
Okay, never mind then. All right, but I'm going 4 for 4. I'm perfect on this.
All
okay
right. Yes. Yeah. That Billy Goal, aka the Timbertown Killer. They estimated that he killed from somewhere. I don't know how they got this number. Somewhere between 2 and 40 victims.
Wow. Okay. All right. Keep going. This is great. I'm on a roll right now.
All right.
This is going to be the one though. I'll mess this one up.
All right. Number five, Homer Bone.
That's a senator. Senator Bone, for sure.
Senator Bone, you are correct. He was a Republican.
Wow.
March 4th, 1933 to November 13th, 1944.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is my crystal brain right now, man. This is, I am on a whole different level. See, Shane, this is the problem. People doubt me all of the time. They doubt my greatness. They doubt my wrinkly brain. My brain is like a raisin. Wrinkly, wrinkly, wrinkly. All the synapses are firing. All the connections are going. Shane, I'm on a roll right now. You can't stop me.
Okay, okay. Let's see here. All right, so number six, Brock Adams.
Brock Adams is a senator, for sure.
Ah, you were right. That is a senator. Democrat, January 3rd, 1987 to January 3rd, 1993. You're doing way better than I expected, Jack. I'm actually kind of upset. All right. Number seven, Gary Ridgway.
Gary Ridgway is a serial killer.
Ah, sure. Seven for seven. Also known as the Green River Killer, and he killed over 49 victims, they estimate.
This is so dark, Shane. I don't know why I'm enjoying this so much, but I'm just nailing it. How am I this good at this? Everyone out there who's listening to this segment right now, you should be so pleased that you are a fan of Cairo Nights and you're witnessing this right now. This is literally what I do. I am a miracle maker, Shane. This is amazing. Okay, continue.
All right, number eight, Kyle Huff.
Kyle Huff is a senator.
Finally, you got one wrong.
No.
Kyle Huff was a murderer. He had six victims, and he was responsible for the Capitol Hill massacre. They still do not know what his motives were. Oh, all right, so number nine, Slade Gorton.
Slade, this has got to be a serial killer.
Ah, wrong again. Slade Gorton, a Republican senator. There's probably some people in their car, like, gripping the steering wheel going, Shane, you're butchering all these names right now.
That's okay.
It's how it is. January 3rd, 1981 to January 3rd, 2001. That was Mr. Gordon's stint as a senator in Washington. Okay. All right, looks like we only have two more here, Jack. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Henry Jackson, number nine.
Henry Jackson has got to be a senator. Got to be a senator.
Henry Jackson was a senator. He was a senator from 1953 to 1983. He was a Democrat. All right, and then Gary Grant.
Gary Grant. Ooh, wow, this is a tough one. I'm going to say Gary Grant has got to be a senator.
Gary Grant is not a senator. He is a man who was responsible for killing four women back in the early 1920s in the city of Renton. So, okay. I mean, you got 7 out of 10. That's still pretty impressive.
Okay. All right. I'm impressed with myself on this one. Yeah, I say the live studio audience, Shane, is with me on this one, that they celebrate me and my greatness. They're very pleased with me, Shane.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was half as pleased as they were. I was really hoping to stump you on some. But I think that you've hung around enough people, you know, dealing in the dark arts from your drug days and your rock and roll days that when you hear a sketchy name, you can probably think of some bad stuff that probably has come along with it.
Yep.
Because you are right with the names of threes. There was two names that I didn't use the middle name because I knew that you were just going to immediately try to guess that it was a serial killer. But yeah, you are right. There are, for some reason, a lot of people like to use middle names. Like Robert Lee Yates was another serial killer.
Exactly.
18 plus victims. I mean, a lot of body counts on this list. And they're all from the state of Washington, which I find funny. But Jack, thanks for participating. Hopefully I can come up with another one that will stump you next time.
This is great, going deep inside of Shane's world. We have to take a really quick break. When we get back, we'll be wrapping up all of this with Mr. Shane Peterson. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to the last segment of the best of Cairo Nights. And this is throwing it back to June 21st, where Jack actually threw it back a little bit too hard and ended up throwing out his back.
All right, so Shane, when you throw your back out, you need to realize that the one thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to sit, because then all the pressure is on your back, right? So for those of you who asked, I was running today, and I ran a little bit too fast, and I pulled the muscle in my back, and it's excruciatingly painful. It's unbelievably painful. As a matter of fact, as I have pointed out previously, it is almost unbearable. And the last thing that I want to do is to sit in my office chair and sit upright so that I can breathe and do my radio program. But you know what I do, Shane? I show up because I am a hero. And you know what heroes do, Shane? When they get called to do their job, they show up and they say to themselves, you know what? My back may be in excruciating pain, Shane. My physical being, my corporeal body may be falling apart with every moment that passes. But what's important is that I'm here to deliver quality local radio to the people, Shane. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the people and me and you. You see what I'm saying, Shane? This is about a community of people, including myself and you, coming together to say, you know, it doesn't matter how much pain you're in, you're still going to be doing radio for the masses, Shane Peterson. For the masses. So what's on my mind... what's on my mind is that it's amazing what a human being can do when they are in excruciating pain, Shane, such as myself, that with no co-host, that with no producer... that I'm able to throw together with the help of Shane Peterson. Let's not take that away. With the help of Shane Peterson, that I'm able to throw together a 3-hour radio program and get through it to the best of my ability. And everyone should thank me for being a true master of my craft, Shane, a true master, someone with the ability to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to push through it all. I'm going to show up for Shane. I'm going to show up for the audience and I'm going to get it done. So Shane Peterson, what's on your mind, boss?
The only thing that's on my mind is I'm just still reliving this weekend over and over again in my head. I had just the best weekend Ooh. I've had in such a long time, and it was great. I got to go see the Mariners play. First ever ball game at T-Mobile Park. I got to see a grand slam, and I got to see a walk-off win in the 10th inning. It was an absolute blast. And then I got to go see my buddy play professional rugby on Saturday. He scored. It was a close game. I got to go have dinner with them after. I just had a whole weekend of seeing friends and catching up, and I just wish it didn't end. You know, when Monday rolls around, I understand why some people really get the Monday blues. I mean, I always like showing up here. I get excited about my job and, you know, starting a new week, but I woke up today and I was like, I didn't want to wake up to Monday. I wanted to go back to sleep and wake up another day because weekend was just so much fun, man. I just had such a ball, and you know, it hurt the wallet a bit too. Those beers are expensive at AT&T Park. Let me tell you,
Shane, why you got to kick me while I'm down? Why you got to kick me while I'm down?
Why? What do you mean kick you while you're down? What do you mean?
I'm in terrible excruciating pain. Terrible excruciating pain, and you come on Cairo Nights as the producer / board op for Cairo Nights, and you brag to me in my face. You brag and you say, I had this great weekend. I went out with my buds and I didn't even want to come to work today. And now, Shane, you're making my mental pain the equivalent to my physical pain. Do you see what you're doing to me?
Well, I thought the segment was what's on your mind, and that's what's on my mind. I could have told you a whole other plethora of stories, but I figured that, you know, I got to be honest with the people out here, Jack. I got to tell them really what's going on inside this weird head of mine.
Yeah, but I mean, more specifically, it's that you don't think that maybe you could have said, oh, yeah, and then I stubbed my toe and I was in a lot of pain. And then I would have been like, dude, me too. My back hurts really bad. That would have been like a bonding moment between the two of us.
If it does make you feel a little bit better, I have a bruise on the side of my face that I don't know how I got, but I'm pretty sure I got it when the Mariners got their winning walk-off. There was a lot of jumping around, maybe caught a couple elbows or two, but I was all feeling myself. I was with the M's. I was one with the ball club. So I was
Someone was throwing elbows in the.
Well, there was a lot of arms flying up in the air. There was a lot of let's goes yelled out, Jack. Yeah. There was a whole lot of let's goes. So there was a lot of goes out there. And that was a good old time. I let out a couple myself.
Yeah, a little bit of a let's go.
Yeah.
I've never understood that phrase, Shane. I guess that makes me a late stage millennial, but I've never understand. Like, you complete the task, you do the thing. And then you yell, let's go, but you have already gone. You see what I'm saying? You've already finished what you set out to do.
Well, it means it just says let's go because you're on to the next. You're on to the next best great thing, Jack. You're just on one. You're on to the next.
See, but
let's go.
It's a journey. Why isn't the phrase then on to the next. Why is it let's go? Because you see what I'm saying? I don't feel like it's grammatically correct.
It's not grammatically correct, but it still works. You know, there are some things that definitely aren't correct, but they still slide, man.
Yeah, there you go. So on that note, Shane Peterson, thank you so much for sticking with us throughout the entire show. I appreciate it very much. We will be back tomorrow. So stick around for another 21 hours. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't get up to eat, because we're going to be right back. You don't want to see what you're going to be missing. For Lisa Brooks and for Shane Peterson, I wish everyone a very good night, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.